Do you know what time it is? It's supernatural story time. And if you're easily scared, and even if you're not, there's only one thing left to do. Just turn off the lights, because these are stories that you listen to only in the dark.
When Nighttime Falls, Volume 5, Story 1. I used to install cellular infrastructure in the subway tunnels of Atlanta. I was about 2 miles into the tunnel going northeast of Five Points, which is a center hub in the Lenox area. There is a fork in the tracks and a collapsed tunnel that was to be used as a new route. I asked the inspectors from MARTA what the deal was and why they ran track and paid for an interchange only to collapse the tunnel. He stated they ran to a critical area and we pulled out. He had nothing else to offer. They ran to something they called an immediate stoppage. Keep in mind, they used ground-penetrating radar and other tools before going this far and actually laying track. If you continue down the tunnel ends and the shift was at night because they shut down the rails to patrons. I had to urinate really bad and I walked around the gate area into the woods. I was looking for cover as I had a green vest on and you're not supposed to go out to the bathroom in these areas. However, I was looking at a few hours till I could get to a bathroom. I went about 75 yards into the woods and found a bit of a clearing with some trees that were pretty thick and provided cover. I started to do my business when I heard some rustling and what sounded like Gregorian chanting. I finished and I was intrigued by the noises coming from what I thought was a couple of hundred yards away. I started walking in the direction of the chanting and had a miner's light on my hard hat so I could see through the thicket of trees. I saw weird symbols on a few trees that looked like what I believed to be Norse, as God of War PS4 had just come out and it looked similar. The chanting seemed to stop, and I was getting less amused with exploring, so I decided to work my way back to the fence area to see if our ride back to the central station had come. It takes about an hour for the OTE to arrive, as they are trucks with hydraulic train legs that allow them to traverse the rails. I had time to burn for those wondering why I would explore while at work. On my way back, I hit a clearing with a fire pit that was recently put out, as it was embers at this point. I was a little uneasy and I called my co-worker to ask if the OTE truck arrived yet, but really, I think I just wanted to hear another voice. He told me they were still on the way and we were on standby still. I hung up the phone and I turned my miner's light back on, as the light from my phone made my eyes unadjusted to the dark. I saw seven people with black robes coming towards the camp area. I started moving quickly back to the direction of the train tracks. I could hear them following me. I thought they would yell at me or something, but they just followed. I was at this point getting angry and seriously considered stopping to confront these folks. I got out of the forested area to the loose gravel leading to the fence near the track and tunnel. I saw my co-worker and opened the gate on the fence and made my way back. I didn't say anything about my encounter. We headed back to Five Points and my shift ended. As we were loading our truck with our gear, the MARTA inspector told me to be careful and not to leave the fenced area again. I apologized and went about my business. I found out later that a lot of the folks I worked with are Freemasons, which was interesting. Never found out what that tunnel was purposely collapsed for, or as a matter of fact, I never left the work area to go into the woods in Georgia ever again. Next story. This is totally eerie and unexplainable. My ex-girlfriend and I were headed back to our town 2 hours further up into the mountains from where I grew up in western North Carolina. There's no interstate that takes us all the way home, so a solid portion of the drive is rural, but not abandoned by any means. Most of the highways that take us home are very curvy and constantly changing in elevation, but there are just a couple really long straightway patches of road, about a mile or so long. Alright, enough backstory. So, we're driving home this particular summer night after visiting my family, cruising with the windows down and rounded the turn onto one of the two straightways. Another car coming the opposite direction rounds the bend at the other end of this long stretch of road, coming towards us with headlights on bright. It was getting kind of late, but it's not uncommon to pass other cars on this route, even in the night hours, so I thought nothing of it at first. As we moved towards each other, I dimmed my own lights, and the other car did not. Initially, I was annoyed and said something to the tune of this effing moron, and I proceeded to flash my brights just for a moment as a reminder to the other driver that theirs was still on bright. As we got closer to each other, the other vehicle kept their brights on, and it was getting more and more blinding as they approached. So I signaled a couple more times, still to no avail. As we were about 10 meters away from passing the other vehicle, all of its lights turned completely off. As we passed, there was no whooshing sound of a passing car, nor were there any brake lights to be seen. There was nothing there. Both my girlfriend and I sat in silence for at least the rest of that straightaway, before even speaking about what we'd just seen. We're both pretty rational people. I'm more easily convinced about the spiritual and paranormal type experiences that happen to people all the time, while she was a diehard skeptic. She always had an answer to what it probably was instead, not wanting or willing to accept that unexplainable paranormal shit might exist in reality. Even still, she sat speechless as I finally piped up my voice enough to ask a solemn, "You saw that too, right?" Chills ran down both our spines as we went longer and longer, trying to find a reasonable explanation when there were none. We both seen it, we both saw it shut off, and we both saw nothing pass us by. Truly one of the eeriest, uneasiest feelings I've ever experienced. I've traveled this way at time, many times since, and have yet to have another run-in with the ghost car. But every time I drive it, with just one other car driving towards me, my blood pressure spikes just a little bit. Next story. One time my wife and I were out driving, and we're both on night shifts, so we spent most of our off time watching movies or just driving. This particular night we wanted to see something scary, a little bit of San Antonio. There's a bridge called Donkey Lady Bridge. The story behind the name I've heard is that a man killed his wife and children by burning their house down. The wife supposedly became horribly disfigured from the fire and now haunts the area seeking revenge. It's a nice campfire story, so I wanted to put it to the test. The bridge sits in a densely wooded area crossing the Medina River. The road getting there takes you through some farmland, and it was deserted at that time of night. As I drove towards the turn to the bridge, I noticed a car parked on the side of the road. I thought that was odd, given the road is pretty far out of the way, to have a car just abandoned there. Then I saw someone walk from behind the car towards us and start waving us over. For a split second, the thought that maybe they were out for an innocent scare, too, and someone had fallen into the river or been hurt crossed my mind. Then I got that feeling in my stomach that something was off. I floored the gas and raced off down the road, away from the bridge. I looked behind me to see two others walk around the side of the car and open the door. I wasn't taking any chances and kept the gas floored until I was sure we were far away from them. I don't know what their intentions were, whether they were innocent or not, but I do know I'll think twice before picking my midnight adventures. Next story. I do rideshare and try to take only the long trips. Anyway, this was one of those nights that I had a few 1 hour plus trips. It's 3 a.m. and I'm finally heading home. Made it through the forest without having any deer scare the shit out of me and was on the home stretch. I perked up a little bit and started thinking of what's open to grab food. Then I passed the cemetery. Cemeteries are always a nice place, but this wasn't an any ordinary cemetery. It was Resurrection Cemetery. If you're from Chicago, you've probably already heard of it. But if you're not, its claim to fame is Resurrection Mary. Everyone has heard the story, but nobody's actually seen Mary. I did. As I'm driving, thinking about whether I wanted a burger or some nuggets, I see a woman in a dress on the side of the road. On this stretch of road, there's a cemetery on the right side and businesses on the left. There's a residential area the next block over, but it's a suburb, so nobody walks, especially at 3 a.m. I see the woman and start to slow down. We lock eyes as I drive past, but I didn't stop. I like my kidneys and would prefer to keep them. Then it hits me. Resurrection Mary. Holy shit, it's her. A couple of blocks up, I pull off the road, turn around, and head back. I just had to see if it was really her. As I pass by, there's nobody there. I turn down a side street and cruise the neighborhood with the thought that if this was a real person and not Mary, I should see someone walking, right? Nope, nobody. No lights in any of the houses are on, no movement anywhere. Was it Mary? Maybe, maybe not. All I know is that I was a skeptic before that night, but after, now I'm a little more a believer. Next story. After retiring from law enforcement, I decided to get a CDL and team drive with my daughter's boyfriend. Being a night owl, we decided I would be a night driver. The company we work for requires you to wear reflective safety vests if you are out of the truck on the yards, so we kept them draped over the back of the seats so they were handy. This becomes important later. Late at night, when boredom, fatigue, over-caffeination, indigestion, anxiety, lighting, and a dozen other factors came together just right, I would catch in my periphery a man's face and upper body standing behind the passenger seat, peering at me. Now, I'm a militant skeptic and infidel, so I didn't attribute this phenomena to anything supernatural. I realized my mind was playing tricks on me, even though it happened frequently and startled the shite out of me. Eventually, I figured out it was a safety vest combined with the shape of the seat and shadows in the truck causing the specter. It made no sense because, looking directly at it, it looked nothing like the upper part of a person. But out of your periphery, the light and shadow and shape combined just right to resemble a man's face and shoulders. I eventually mentioned it to my co-driver, and then he started seeing the same thing during the times he drove in darkness, although not as frequently as I did. The human mind has evolved to recognize faces and often sees faces in patterns where none exist. This phenomenon is called pareidolia. Ultimately, I got used to seeing this person out of my right side peripheral vision and wasn't startled by it anymore. I named him Doyle from pareidolia. Doyle kept me company many a night, but the bastard just didn't say much. Next story. I was driving through Montana, headed east, and my company had miscalculated my mileage, so I requested an emergency fuel-up. I got a response with the nearest gas station that I could get approved at. It wasn't exactly close, so I turned off the main highway and headed toward my stop. It's pitch black, there's no moon, no city light, and I hadn't seen any headlights for about an hour. Cruising down the highway, and I see something in the middle of the road at the furthest extent of my headlights, so I slowed down, naturally, as I approached it. When I came to pass it, I got one good glance at it and slammed on my brakes as I passed right in the middle of the highway. All I could think of was, did I just see? So I backed up, looking in my mirror, until I see its red silhouette in my brake lights. I pulled my brakes, put on my jacket, and grabbed my flashlight and hopped out. I walked to the back of my trailer and put my light on it, and there it was, a headless, skinless, mangled corpse. I froze, and my jaw dropped. I didn't know what I was looking at. I just stood there, in the middle of the highway, in the cold, stagnant air. The only sound is the hum of my truck 50 feet back, watching the steam rise from this pile of meat. There was no fur, there was no clothing, just a fully intact rib cage with a mess of other miscellaneous bones attached by ligaments. I debated calling the police, as the rib cage looked big enough for someone my size, but I looked at my phone and had zero cell service. The nearest town was about 50 miles out. When I put my phone away, I flashed my light around, and standing at the end of the road were a handful of coyotes staring at me. Then they started coming through the fence and trotted in my direction. I figured this is the part where I get back in the truck before I get into a situation, so I did, and continued on my way. I still to this day do not know if it was human or not. Whatever it was, and whatever had happened, I was almost a witness of. I convinced myself that it was more than likely a deer and was hit by another truck like my own at highway speeds that would definitely do significant damage. But in retrospect, I've never seen roadkill missing its flesh before. Next story. I was an OTR driver trainee near the end of my training. My trainer and I went on a long, dark stretch of Highway 93 in Arizona. He was taking the dipshit detail known as the overnight / deep dark so he could think. He and his wife were having issues, so I gave him the space. If you ever try to sleep in an old freightliner as it rolls merrily along, you don't know torture. You do learn to sleep through it, but there remains what, wait, I'm actually sleeping moments? When you know the truck isn't moving or running. Well, I woke up that night and it was too quiet. No lights, no dash lights, my alarm clocks, radios, nothing. I even grabbed my watch and it was dead. So I roll up in the dark and get dressed. I pull the curtains open and the truck is dead quiet. My trainer isn't in it, and everything is dark. But a nice near full moon on a beautiful clear Arizona night, I get out of the truck to look for my trainer, and he's standing buck naked about 50 feet from the front of the truck, just staring into space. His clothes, his jewelry, he was a stereotypical Guido from Connecticut with the gold bling and all. His shoes and all were in a pile about 5 feet in front of the truck. I walked up to him and asked him, "What's going on?" It took him a good 2 minutes to come around, and he had no idea what happened. He grabbed his clothes and got dressed, thank God, and we looked at the truck. Every single battery in that truck was dead. Backup alarm clock batteries, dead. Our wristwatch batteries, dead. We were sitting there in a dark truck, and he could not explain how he got out of the truck, out of his clothes, but that he could be mental. His wife was cheating on him. But the batteries were out of even his very knowledgeable hands. We were lucky that a few minutes after dawn, some guys cruised by and gave us a ride to the closest phone. Yes, this is pre-cell phone days. We told dispatch, and they sent a wrecker in the whole nine yards. They said it could be bad batteries or alternators, yada yada. So they replaced parts and off we went. We didn't tell anyone a word about all the other strange crap that happened, and we kind of silently but mutually never spoke of it again. Hey Guido, my long ago friend, I kept that promise till now because enough time and distance have passed us by. I've just always wondered what happened that night, but I guess I'll never have an answer. Next story. Last summer, I was taking a load from Oklahoma City to Dallas, Texas. I was traveling down I-35 and looking for a place to shut down for the night. It's like 3 a.m. and my clock was running down. Legally, you can only drive 11 hours within a 14-hour clock once you start rolling. So I can't be too picky for parking, and finding an open spot at the dead of night can be a hassle, especially around major cities. So I passed the Windstar World Casino in Oklahoma and drove into Texas looking for a rest stop, truck stop, or anything really. Thankfully, I found a rest spot, not too far from Texas. The truck parking lot was about half full, which I thought was odd, but hey, I wasn't complaining. Any parking spot is a good parking spot. So I shut down for the night, did my post-trip inspection, and heated up some instant mac and cheese. Before getting some sleep, I headed over to the restroom. As I'm walking, I notice a guy about 5'8 and 150 pounds just standing next to a tree in the dark, away from the lights. I'm like 5'6 and 115 pounds on a good day. So normally, I would have turned around and just locked myself in my truck, but I had to go to the toilet. So I kept an eye on him as I headed into the restroom. Found the stall, did my business while keeping an ear out for our fellow at the tree. As I'm wiping up and getting ready to get out, I hear the door open. There's five other stalls, and this guy chose the one to my left and sits down. My heart is pounding. He doesn't undo his pants or anything, just sits down and says, "Hi," through the stall. I quieted my breathing and focused every sense I got on this guy, listening to his every shift and move. My eyes are glued to his shoes, and my heart is freaking the F out. I don't know if he wants some sexual favor or to wear my skin, but I'm not feeling it. I reached for my pocket knife as quiet as I could and opened that thing with utter care, not to make a peep, and I waited. Must have been 5 minutes of just sitting there, not making a single noise, just waiting, knife in hand. I didn't say a damn word, and neither did he. So he got up and left. I sat there another couple of minutes, waiting for him to come back, but he didn't. Got up, washed my hands, and headed out the door. My head was on a 360-degree swivel, looking for this guy. I didn't see him at the tree, so as I passed, I didn't see him as I made my way to the truck. I didn't even see a vehicle on the car parking lot. So I got in, locked the doors like 10 times, and kept my blade and flashlight right next to my bunk. I woke up in the afternoon without incident and without a second visit from bathroom stall guy. I still wonder what he wanted. Next story. It was in the dead of night, around 3 a.m. in 1997. I was driving across a vast and humongous forest to my friend's house, which was an 8-hour drive from my house, and there was nothing in sight except for the roads that seemed to go on forever and have seemingly infinite trees. Just then, I heard crying noises in the woods, which made me confused. After driving for about 10 more minutes, I saw a white figure standing still at the far corner of the road. As my truck approached closer, I could make out the figure of a woman wearing a white vintage wedding dress that looked from the 1950s. I was confused as to why a woman would just stand there alone in the middle of nowhere at night. I then tried calling out to her by opening my car window, and at first she seemed to not even notice me at all, so I called to her even louder and was staring at her, and then my truck was passing by her. However, when I was just about to turn my head back to make sure that I was not drifting towards the trees, she turned her head towards my direction and stared at me, and then she started to bawl her eyes out. And when I turned back to the front view of my truck, I realized that I was so close to drifting off the road, and I quickly turned my truck. At this point, I was still unsure about what the hell was going on, but I managed to figure out that the crying was coming from this lady. and I was starting to get a little creeped out. So I tried to forget about the weird experience by drinking a little bit of booze and focused on my driving. After driving for a good few miles, I saw that same woman standing in the middle of the road, and I immediately braked my truck. Her eyes were puffy with a continuous tearing, and then she started to keep saying, "John, don't leave me. Where are you?" Understandably being concerned and confused as heck, I stepped out of my truck and walked towards her while asking her if she was okay and if she wanted me to drive her somewhere safer. She didn't say anything, just kept crying and crying. At this point, I'm getting a little bit pissed because she's holding me back a significant amount of time, and my friend had previously called me to come by his house more quickly because he wanted to show me his hunting collection. I couldn't handle this anymore, so I just told the woman to F off, and surprisingly, she walked back into the woods while I got back into my truck and continued to drive again. After a few minutes, I started to hear weird noises coming from the back of my truck. At first, I tried to ignore those sounds, but it kept getting louder, so I couldn't just ignore it. I looked in my rearview mirror and clearly showed the back of my truck, but I couldn't see anything. I then continued to drive again, but I kept hearing those noises. Unable to tolerate anymore, I stopped my car and decided to walk to the back of my truck to see what was going on, and I was wondering what was that weird noise. And then, let's face it, I'm a pretty tall guy. I'm 6'5" and had no real fears for my entire life at that point. It was that same woman again. I told her, "What's your problem? Why have you been following me? How have you been following me nonstop for the past few hours?" She only stared at me dead in the eye and started to laugh maniacally. And the tears in her eyes and her face suddenly changed to blood, and her previously pristine wedding dress became very beat up and torn with bloodstains everywhere. She also had a huge stomach wound which exposed ribs, and she was missing one of her eyes. I screamed in horror as I dashed back to my truck and drove at full speed without looking back. Just then, a truck driving from the opposite direction of mine appeared out of nowhere and crashed into my truck. The impact was so great that I was flung out of my truck and laid on the floor severely bloodied and injured. I was then just about to lose consciousness when I saw the lady smiled at me before vanishing into thin air, and then I fainted. I was then brought into the nearest hospital by a good Samaritan, and I was treated for a cracked skull, broken ribs, and legs. I know this sounds absolutely insane, but this experience has been haunting me till this day. I have told this story to countless family members and friends, but all of them refused to listen to my story, and instead just claimed that I was too drunk that night. But I'm telling the truth, that I wasn't drunk that night, as I know very well when I'm drunk. All I know is that this has had such a huge impact in my life that I don't drive a truck anymore, and especially avoid places that are very secluded at night. Next story. This was a few years back on a night scuba dive. There were 8 of us in a group, including our dive master and his assistant. We had just finished our dive and were gathered up in a circle ready to ascend and get out of the water when my dive master freezes, takes his flashlight and points it outside our circle of divers, and he catches something circling us with a beam. Turns out it was a 12-foot-long great white shark. At this point, half of the group is trying to keep the shark illuminated as it circles us, and remarkably, everyone stayed calm. The only thing going through my mind were iterations of these two thoughts. Don't look like a yummy, delicious, fatty seal, and that I hope I taste terrible. My dive master got our attention and slowly put his thumb up and made an upward motion. We all began to ascend, and the shark kept with us until we were maybe 10 feet from the surface. Then it turned off into the darkness and was gone. I did not go back into the ocean for about a week after that. Next story. A few years back, I rented an apartment from a friend of mine. He recently bought it and had it completely renovated. I put it up for sale but couldn't find a buyer, so I offered to rent it in the meantime. After moving in, I realized there was something wrong with a lady next door. She was about 45 but looked much older. She would sit up all night listening to Christian radio shows and talking loudly to someone. Got to the point where I couldn't sleep, so I went over to her place and asked her to keep it down. She opened her door and I got a quick peek. Her walls all had crosses painted on them in different colors, and words like Jesus and angels scribbled everywhere. The windows were painted black lettering, no light in at all. It was damp, yellow-stained 50-year-old carpet. Dog shit and cockroaches everywhere. No dog, though. I asked her to please keep it down. She just looked at me and shut the door. Then she turned up the radio even louder. The next night I had my girlfriend staying over. I woke up in the middle of the night and I see a shadow person next to the bed looking at us sleeping. I think I'm hallucinating, as I usually do in the dark when I'm sleepy. But then the shadow starts talking. It's my neighbor. She's holding something in her hand. She broke in during the night, and who knows how long she stood there. You should lock your door at night, she says, and walked out. The next morning, I hear someone making strange noises below my bedroom window. It's my neighbor, talking to herself in tongue. She has a plastic bag in her hand with her rotting dead dog inside. It's hot as hell outside, and I can smell death from the bag. At this point, I'm scared shitless. She's obviously very insane. I go upstairs and knock at another person's door and ask what the hell is going on. The guy's as scared as me. Apparently, she broke into his apartment one evening as well while he was watching TV with his kids. He got up from the couch to get a snack only to find her behind the couch, staring at him holding a power drill. Now I know what was in her hand when she broke into my place. At this stage, I'm basically pooping myself. I called the cops and they know all about her. Apparently, she's a violent schizo and she hasn't taken her meds. But they can't force her or enter her apartment without her permission because she owns it. The only thing they can do is get her when she goes outside. I sat up for the next 2 days, waiting for her to run out of cigarettes. When I heard her leave at 2 a.m. to go across the road to the 7-Eleven, I called the cops. They had three cars and a special van over in less than 2 minutes. They restrained her, threw her in the van, and drove off to some institution, and in less than a minute, it's like she was never there. I never saw her again. However, I still have nightmares about her looking at me in my sleep. Next story. When I was 14, my family and I fell on hard times. We got kicked out of our house and ended up in emergency housing. Basically, we went to charity, who found us a house that we were able to rent for $100 a month, but only for 3 months. That summer, my mom and stepdad separated temporarily, and my three younger siblings would go to my stepdad's for a week and then come back to my mom and me. The house we were at was very creepy. It started off with just that feeling, you know, like something isn't quite right, that you might not be the only person in the room. In the day, that's all it was, the feeling that something was up. Your instincts pricked at you. I tried to ignore it, but as soon as dusk arrived, stuff would start to happen. More than once, I could hear the static-filled music playing, but I couldn't find the source. It just filled the halls. I heard whispering, went to my two sisters' room. In the open closet, a pair of eyes looked at me and disappeared. My brother spent one night in the house and didn't come back. In my room, I could never win. On one wall, a mirror, when I flipped over to face the window, I watched tall shadow figures pace in front of it. In my mother's room, the same shadow figures paced in circles around her room. One night, she and I sat up for 2 hours in her bed, watching these shadows. She was strongly religious and didn't know what to make of it. During the time we lived there was a lunar eclipse. I had never seen one before and was very excited for it. When I went out to look, every time this terror took over and I couldn't stay outside. I couldn't explain it. When the moon was fully cloaked, I went outside, looked up, but my head suddenly snapped down and to my left. I could see three tall shadows walking in between the tall pine trees in the yard. Panicked, I ran back inside and into my room, flung myself under the covers with my eyes shut tightly, and listened to the pacing outside my bedroom window. 3 months of this. We moved out at the end of summer into a new house. My mom and stepdad got back together and I was with my younger siblings again. We all agreed the house on Acorn Street was totally creepy, and I still get chills when we drive by it, just to see it even from a distance. Next story. I worked at two hospitals during my last year of college. At one hospital, I worked with professionals that did therapeutic play with children on the pediatric ward as well as on the adolescent psych ward. My boss and I would do crafts, projects, art, etc. with the teens to help them have an outlet while they were getting treatment for mental illness, addiction issues, and other medical issues. Each day, before we would see the teens, we would get a rundown from the nurses on the ward explaining who everyone was, what issues they were being hospitalized for, and any other info we needed. This could include anything from a warning that the patient had violent tendencies, how they were adjusting to being on the ward, which patients they did or did not get along with, etc. So this one night, we were given the usual rundown of the teens on the ward, and the nurse mentioned one teen in particular. This girl, and I'll call her Sally, obviously not her real name, had all of a sudden just stopped talking one day and started to act really out of character. She would not respond to family, friends, siblings, doctors, or anyone for that matter. She was hospitalized because they became concerned about her harming herself, and they were definitely trying to ensure she was being watched 24/7, just in case she was experiencing some type of psychosis. I don't know a ton of details because we were just given a quick rundown of the patient's case. From what I was told, they had checked and ruled out a brain tumor and other possible physiological causes and found nothing abnormal. Now, just to set the stage, this hospital is a very old hospital with dark hallways, poorly lit rooms, and the coldest, most creepy atmosphere I've ever experienced. In every way, it looked like a hospital you would see in a horror movie, and when walking down the hallways, I remember always being scared something would jump out at me because there was a lot of blind spots due to its very old layout. Anyway, this night in particular, my co-worker slash boss and I started the crafts and activities for the kids in the kitchen room where we always did our activities. I'm sitting close to Sal and tried to initiate conversation, but she would just stare blankly. My boss tried as well, and Sally would not respond, and without warning, she would just occasionally look at us and laugh loudly or smile at me with glossy eyes. The doctors had tried all day to get her to speak, and she said nothing, so I just chatted and tried my best to include her, even though she wouldn't really engage. I started to doodle on a piece of paper while talking with some of the teens, and just randomly wrote down hi, and drew around it, not even really thinking about what I was doing. Almost immediately after I wrote hi, Sally picked up a pencil and said hello. I was shocked, to say the least. I was the first person in days and days that she attempted to communicate with. I didn't know if it would work, but I wrote, "How are you?" She actually wrote an answer. I was blown away. After Sally and I exchanged a couple of questions answered, my co-worker noticed what was going on, so she kept the other teens busy and just nodded at me to keep going. Within a few minutes, this girl and I had written almost a page of conversation, and she was communicating through writing with no trouble. I couldn't believe what was happening. I was getting all this info from a girl that everyone thought was unreachable. We talked through writing for what seemed like hours, but was probably just about 1 hour. And while I was asking her about how she was feeling about being in the ward, she admitted through writing that she was scared. I pressed on trying to see if she was scared because she was in a strange place or missed her family, etc. But she wrote it was because she saw people in the room with us. Obviously, there were people in the room with us, so I asked her why the people in the room scared her, and she simply wrote, "They are dead." I swear, when I read it, I felt like my stomach hit the floor. I looked up from the page we were writing on, and she just looked at me and then turned her head and stared at the door. No one was there. Well, at least, I didn't see anyone there. Sally stared at that door for easily a minute, and I swear she saw something there. I was more scared than I could even express. I will never forget the look on her face. Whether or not there was a person slash ghost there, Sally could see, I'm not sure. I took some deep breaths, and once I had gotten her attention again, we started communicating through writing. We talked this way until 9 p.m., when I had to leave with my boss. I thanked Sally for speaking, and she seemed a lot more aware when I said goodbye. She was still not verbalizing, but I know that the doctors were going to do their best to find out why. I collected the papers we had written on, and before leaving the ward, showed the entire conversation to my co-worker and the nurse in charge. Everyone on duty, nurses, etc., were dumbfounded that I actually communicated with her, and they assured me that the pages would be passed along to the psychiatrist the next morning. I was filled with so many emotions. I was happy I had spoken to her, and she was honest with me, but I was also still incredibly scared and shaken up. My co-worker dropped me off at home, and I remembered walking into the living room, and my roommates knew immediately something had happened. I was shaking and blurted out everything. They were supportive but also freaked out by the situation. I've never been happier to have roommates because if I had gone home to an empty place, I probably wouldn't have slept for days. Sadly, because of the schedule, I had many different shift changes at the hospital. I never saw Sally again, and no one knew what the final diagnosis was for her. I still get chills when I think about the look on her face that night when she stared at the door. I don't think I'll ever shake that feeling. I just hope she got the help she needed.